We'll just open the Bibles now at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. And it's on page 968. So, Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
We've been hearing about it all the morning. Arcos gave us some good examples. Today we're hearing about listening. Not just about hearing about listening, but we're going to think about how our motives actually shape how we hear things. Or to say it simply, we hear what we want to hear and we don't hear what we don't want to, we don't listen to what we don't want to hear. We all do this. A couple of little examples that happened while I was preparing the talk, how I listen but I don't really listen. My mate Oscar, he's my neighbour. He trudges on up, we're only a couple of metres away, and we love discussing the footy. You know who Oscar goes for, he's probably told you, he goes for the Roosters. I go for Manly. So what happens, we have this conversation, and Oscar talks and he's talking about the Roosters. And while he's talking, I'm getting ready just to defend Manly. And so Oscar, he has his turn, and then it's my turn to talk, and I'm talking about Manly. Manly's the best. And Oscar, you can see his cogs working. How is he going to make Roosters better? And so at the end of the conversation, what happens? I walk away, and Manly's the best. Oscar walks away, the Roosters are the best. Happens all the time. I listen to what I want to listen to, and I don't listen to what I don't want to hear. Even at church, we can be having a conversation. It could be around the morning tea table. You might be chatting to someone, a loose acquaintance, and then behind in the background you see something interesting. You see someone you want to talk to, and so you start to glance over their shoulder and you stop listening. But then the problem is you join the conversation again and you're stuck. They've asked you something and you don't know whether to agree or to disagree. It's a problem, and so you risk saying yes, or there's a big risk it's a problem. And people know it. They know when you're not listening because we choose what we like to listen to and how we hear it. Today we're looking at listening, and I'll just pray before we really get into it. Lord, we're opening your word and we're listening to the words of Jesus. I've been spending time preparing, looking into it deeper, so I've been able to prepare a message to be heard, so pray for the people that will be hearing it. Pray that they not just hear it, but listen to what you're saying. Pray for me that I'm the mouthpiece. I communicate it clearly so people can hear you, people can be drawn to you, people can come to you, not be confused, but understand and call you God, call you Jesus, call you their Lord. So Lord, help us have understanding, and amen. So we begin chapter 13. You've got it in front of you. A bit of context would be helpful. Some broad context where Jesus is talking to Jews. The last 100 years it's been Roman oppression for them. Romans are in their land. They're not the nation they want to be. A couple of 100 years before that it was the Greeks. They want restoration. They're waiting for their Messiah. And here comes Jesus. The chapters before you see he calms storms at his word. At his word, dead people stand up alive. He's casting out demons. He's healing. He's clashing with the Pharisees. He seems to have the authority of God given to him. And some people even start to say, is this the Son of David? Is this the Messiah? We come to a place where Jesus, everyone wants a piece of him. Healing's the lot. He's the flavour of the month, and he's doing things that people have never seen before. So here we are, chapter 13. Jesus is in a house. He steps out of the house and hears the crowd, a huge crowd. There's many motives in the crowd. They've all seen his healings, etc. They've all got their motives and they've come to hear Jesus speak. Some would be wanting physical healing. They've seen it happen elsewhere. They've heard it happening. That's what they want. Some people want demons cast out. Some people are there just to see demons cast out because that's pretty exciting. They want the drama that comes with Jesus, healings, people coming alive who are dead. Some people will be there because they think he may even be the promised Messiah. You've got Pharisees. They're looking for a way to kill him. We hear that in chapter 12, so they're listening carefully to try and snare him. Other people, they're just there, you know, a crowd. You see a crowd and it draws a crowd. They probably don't have much interest at all. But anyway, they're all there. They spot him. He steps out of the house and the crowd rushes over. And I reckon the questions would have started coming. They would have said, Jesus, my great aunt says if a man has more than 3 demons, they can't be cast out. Is this true? Or Jesus, I hear you heal sicknesses. If I bring my cousin Barry who has leprosy, will you heal him? Or Jesus, will you get rid of the Romans? Look at me, I'm strong. I'm ready to help. Others might be saying, Jesus, I know John the Baptist. John thinks you're the Messiah. Can you confirm this? Teach us, Jesus. Jesus steps into the water. The crowd's too big, so he hops in a boat. Everyone's there. They're there to hear his words. And Jesus knows exactly why each of them are there. But he doesn't say, oh, not today, sorry, I don't feel like it. maybe some other time. He talks to them, and what he says to them, it stumps them all. It throws everyone off. Here they are, here to listen to Jesus. And he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Some seed, it falls on the path, doesn't grow. Some seed falls amongst thorns, gets choked. Some seed falls amongst rocks. It also doesn't grow. But you know, some seed falls on deep soil and it grows and produces a crop. So he who has ears, let him hear. And you can hear the silence. You can hear the mullet jumping in the lake, the crickets in the grass, a tumbleweed probably rolled past. No one knows what to say. They're all confused. The disciples are confused. No one knows what to do with it. The guys looking for healing are thinking, does this mean we're not going to see any healings today? The guys they're plotting to kill him are thinking, all right, what do we do with that? One's coming to think he might be the Messiah, probably starting to think he's more mad than anything. And the disciples, well, you can tell they're thinking, Jesus, what are you saying? Everyone is here. They could be eating out of your hand. But see, everyone has their reasons for being there. And they hear a riddle. It's not what they wanted. His followers, you can read, the disciples, they come to him and they say, Jesus, what are you doing? Why this teaching? Why are you speaking in parables? They can't work out why Jesus is talking like this. And you know, it's a valid question. It's valid for them and it's valid for us. Why does Jesus talk in parables? Things that sound like riddles. There's a crowd before him. He could dazzle them. He could walk on water. He could rise out of the boat. He could grant all their wishes true. He could do it. He's Jesus. But he tells them a parable. And the disciples don't get it. But Jesus tells them a parable because he's doing some sifting. My auntie and uncle, they live at a place out west where you go down to the creek and you dig the dirt out of the bottom of the creek and you put it in some sieves and you get it in the water and you sieve it and you sift it. And the idea is you're separating all the rubble out and you're looking for sapphires. See, Jesus, he's doing a sifting of a different kind. He's sifting the people. He's sorting out the sapphires from the rubble. He's sifting out those who really listen to him with heart ears, not just physical ears, to those who are there for their own purposes, who are deaf to actually hearing what Jesus is on about. They're there to hear what they want to hear. Jesus is saying to the crowd, there are four ways or four outcomes of his word going out. Number one, you can see it, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. See, Jesus is describing hard-hearted people. When they hear the message to repent, nothing. When they call to believe, no movement. They're blind and deaf to the message. And actually says the message is taken from them. Second outcome, verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. We probably all know someone who has been this type of soil. They accept the message of Jesus until there's a real cost. They don't count being rooted down in Jesus as worth the cost of losing their own kingdom. When things get difficult, they have to restore their kingdom and keep it going for themselves. Third outcome, verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Again, we know what this looks like. The Christian life made unfruitful because of the comfort that wealth gives. People hear the word and they don't actually reject it, but living for health, wealth, and worrying about life means it's ineffective. The word is unfruitful. See, living for God's kingdom is choked out by this kingdom. God's kingdom for them doesn't compete for what this kingdom offers, this world. And the last outcome, verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the people that hear the message and accept it. They understand God is God and that God loves them and has invited them into his kingdom. God is in their hearts producing good works and faith. So if we take a step back, Jesus isn't really just speaking riddles. He's sifting the crowd. Jesus is teaching them that the kingdom of God is not quite what they think. It's not about them. It's about coming to God because he's God. For those who hear Jesus for who he actually is, those who hear are actually drawn in by the parable. It has a different effect. It's like the disciples. Even though they didn't quite get what Jesus was saying, Jesus tells them in verse 16 that they are the good soil because even by coming to Jesus, they're seeing and hearing. There's one more thing I think we need to understand to fully comprehend what's going on in our passage. And we see it in Jesus' explanation to the disciples of why he tells the parable. It's the fact that desiring to listen and to submit to Jesus is a gift from God. When the disciples pace over to Jesus and they ask Jesus why the parables, Jesus answers in verse 13, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." See, it's a gift. To have heart ears is a gift because God needs to give them to you so you hear him. See, to be the last soil, the good soil, it's actually a gift from God. The first three soils are people who are blind and they can't see to save themselves. And I mean, we know this. See, I know my heart, it wanders from God. I pursue my own kingdom. I pursue Dylan's kingdom where I'm the most important. Everything revolves around me. See, I need God to move in me to come and follow him. I love a line in one of the songs we sing. It says, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above." So I can't be the good soil by myself. I've tried. You're the same. It's God who gives us grace, mercy, forgiveness, and he calls us and makes us the good soil. But those who hear the message of Jesus and don't accept it, don't receive the gift. So God gives them over to judgment. That's what the reference to Isaiah, it's chapter 6, 9 and 10, is pointing out. The context of Isaiah is God's people Israel, they were rebelling, living for their own kingdoms, submitting to God was out, living for yourself, doing what you want was in. Therefore a time of judgment of the people of God had come. Part of that judgment was hearing the words of God spoken to them by Isaiah, but being deaf to it. And so verse 13, Jesus says this, Isaiah, is being fulfilled. He says, though seeing, this is the other people in the crowd, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand in their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus can say in verse 12, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Having hearts to listen and follow Jesus is a gift from God, and he gives it in abundance. God also closes the heart, the ears and hearts of those who rebel. That's a scary prospect and a warning. So we've seen two things. We see Jesus sifts out people and their motives by using the parables. Secondly, being able to listen to Jesus is a gift from God. And so what's there for us? We're a crowd, maybe a little bit smaller than usual, but I think there's a couple of things for us. Firstly, the passage is not about believers sitting round trying to work out if they're the good soil or not. It's not the purpose of the parable. If Jesus is in your heart, you're the good soil. God has given you a gift of a soft heart, and he's growing and producing fruit in you. You don't have to sit around stressing whether God's chosen you or not, whether you're the hard soil or the good soil. We can have peace, confidence, and assurance. God delights in blessing people with ears that can hear him. But lastly, there's a warning. Be careful how you listen to Jesus. If you sit here every Sunday, you go to Bible study, you're having the message of Jesus given to you, be careful how you listen. If you've been hearing preaching your whole life, or this is your first time, you've got to be careful how you listen. You can go through life hearing the gospel, reading the Bible, but if you're not listening to what it's saying, you've got to take this message as a warning. You can't come to Jesus without listening to who he actually is, because he's God. You can't approach Jesus thinking that he exists for you and your kingdom. If you come to hear Jesus like a church on a Sunday, if you're doing the Christian thing, it fits in well with your image and lifestyle you're trying to create, you've got to be careful how you listen. Jesus is about God's kingdom. You need to understand and listen that coming to Jesus means coming to listen and obey. You can't listen and not obey. But there's nothing to fear in obeying Jesus. It costs you your own kingdom, but you're part of God's kingdom. God accepts those who accept his gift of mercy. Jesus laying his life down and picking it up again so we can join in God's purposes and his kingdom, not our own. God wants us to be glorious in reflecting his glory, not our own. So be careful how you listen. I'll pray for us. Lord, we've heard your word. Your seeds come on each of us, and we need to listen. We need to know that you are God. You are the Messiah. You died, you rose again, you bought forgiveness, and all we have to do is have faith. So, Lord, may we believe and be the good soil. Amen.